You read that headline, you're like, oh, we're probably good. I can skip reading that, right? Welcome back to Linux Weekly, Daily Wednesdays, where we sit back, relax, take that midweek break, talk about some of the fun things going on in the world of Linux and open source. I'm Ben Stone, joined every week by Jill Bryant. Everybody watching this, we're just chatting about melting RAM in the pre-show. If you want to go watch that, it'll be up later for patrons in the Live and Uncut podcast, or go check out our Uncut channel over on YouTube. It'll be out a week later for everybody else. What's up? What's new? Jill is trying to imitate me, which is, I consider, the most sincere bit of flattery. Trying to emulate my vocal stylings, are you?
I wish I could get as low as you, Ben. You have
no,
nice
you don't.
Voice.
I hate hearing this. I wish, trust me, I'm like, I just wish I could talk into, I listen to people talk on, like, doing YouTube videos and stuff like that. I'm like, I bet that's so easy.
Yeah. Aww. Yeah, so I've been sick, so everyone excuse my scratchy throat, and that's what Ben's talking about. I'm a little bit lower today than I usually am. But for me, it's like being a high soprano. It takes a lot to get even lower than I can't even get anywhere near Ben's baritone voice.
This is not that bad, Joe. Come on.
Okay, good.
Don't worry, I'll pitch shift you so you'd be like, rrr, 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 rrr. Yeah. Man, so I think the thing just showed up. I'm still in the process of torturing. I got that HP Elite desk in the basement. Yay. Tied down to a chair. I'm like, you're cheap enough to where it doesn't matter if I break you. Let's find out where you break. Doing all the things, answering all the questions that I have. Getting Linux on it, I'll give you a little bit of a spoiler. Not too bad. There's a couple of steps, but I know people are going to be concerned about, hey, man, how does this compare against, you know, a Raspberry Pi 4 or 5 for power usage? So I'm getting some tests with that because it's got a couple of modes. And surprisingly, I didn't expect this. For the power modes, it's got the, I'm going to do everything in my power. I'm going to turn myself into like a neurotic little laptop with no battery mode.
Which is
pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty good. But it's also got something that I was not expecting, is something I do on all the boxes in the studio, effectively just disabling C states, which just tells the CPU to just like run at full clock constantly. Oh, okay. Don't throttle. Yeah. Don't try to do frequency scaling. Just go. It's got that mode in there. I'll show you how to get to that. Pretty fun. Got the extra RAM, so we're going to be able to see single channel, dual channel for, like, if you want. This is like a legitimate desktop computer too, for the price. It's a lot of fun information, and it seems to really not mind Linux all that much. So stay tuned for that. That'll be over on Interfacing Linux in the upcoming weeks. I'm not. I've learned not to say next week.
Yeah.
Let's go ahead and get into the news of the week. Oh, yeah. Speaking of Raspberry Pi, I put that in our Discord. The Raspberry Pi IPO, initial public offering. They're going to go public. They're going to go, man. Like, they're not going to be like the little private company. They want to get all Hollywood and mainstream on us. And I don't know what to think about that. Different times. Times are changing.
Yeah, we've been talking about that for a while now. So I
posted the information from the London Stock Exchange this morning in Discord. I'm like, they're doing it now. And they decided to go with the London Stock Exchange instead of the New York Stock Exchange, which is kind of interesting because ARM decided to go that route. We'll see what is going to be in store for our friends over at Raspberry Pi. But let's, good news, everybody. Let's talk about what's changing in Firefox. Better insights, same privacy. You read that headline, you're like, oh, we're probably good. I can skip reading that, right?
Yeah. Until you read about the article's actually about.
I read the headline. It sounds fine, Jill. Firefox is great. So what's new in Firefox's approach to search data? Well, opt-out data collection. That's right. To quote, we're ramping up our efforts to enhance search experiences by developing new features like Firefox Suggest, which provides recommended online content that corresponds to queries. That kind of rubbed me the wrong way because I really want corporations to stop pretending that data collection is for my benefit. Like,
yeah,
guys, it's not. Stop. We're not that dumb. Okay. And he's like, we're really trying to help you out. I'm like, no, you're not. I don't care who you are. So a couple of things about this. This is only going to be available in the US. So that is usually a good indicator. Like, make of that what you need to. I'm like, yeah, probably because they couldn't get away with doing this in the EU, like a lot of other companies. However, they do provide a step-by-step guide for disabling the latest bit of data collection in your Firefox. And this is going to be the new version of Firefox that you download. And while you're doing that, you probably also want to disable like the sending performance data, the telemetry that's on in Firefox while you're in there. And there's actually like a whole slew of stuff that you got to dig into the about config in Firefox to completely wipe out what you can. Because those checkboxes in the UI are just the tip. But here's what I want, Firefox. Does this really bother me? I'm like, eh, whatever. I mean, data collection is data collection. I spin it. I mean, somebody will definitely like jump up and try to white knight and be like, but it's different because everybody else does it. I'm like, yeah, but Firefox was being cool, man. Can we get a blog post from Firefox outlining their plans for staying competitive and innovating on the web browser? That's the next post I want to read from the Firefox blog about them doing cool stuff. Not we need to data mine and figure this stuff out, man. This is going to rub a lot of people the wrong way. And this is also going to cause a lot of people to get really defensive about why. I guarantee you in the upcoming weeks, people will somehow try to defend this, saying, well, it's okay when they do it. And I'm like, that's always a bad argument. You're always on the wrong side when you're doing that argument, but you do to you. However, I want to see how long it takes for somebody to bring up ArkenFox, LibreWolf, or like WaterFox, because that, you know, as soon as you're like, because those are like the ultra hyper privacy focused Chromium and Firefox based browsers. This is not all doom and gloom, I don't think. I don't think you need to get like, you know, everything's burning down. That's something you can disable. The only thing I take issue with, and it's not Firefox, is with anybody, is making stuff like this opt out. Because this is opt in by default. You need to go turn this off if you don't want those data bits collected. Now, maybe you can say to yourself, well, I'm trying to help out Firefox. We don't know what they're doing with the data. Also, keep that in mind. But like with me, I don't care. Like I got all the telemetry and stuff like cut on. I'm like, whatever, fine. So what about you, Joe Bryan?
Oh, yeah, I was actually a bit befuddled by this as well, especially since lately Firefox, you know, they've actually been more focused on the user browser experience in their last few iterations. They've done a lot of improvements. And I guess to their defense, they are going to try and do this as securely as possible and as privately as possible. But data collection is data collection at the end of the day. So, you know, I've always actually loved how easy it is to change the default search engine right in the URL bar in Firefox. So maybe Mozilla could make it easier to opt out of data collection in the same location and just, you know, have a little button or something clicked up, opt out. Yeah. Or just like Ven was saying, opt out by default, and then you can go back and opt in if you want to help them out with data collection.
I don't know. Maybe, you know, I want to say slippery slope, but again, when I read stuff like this, I'm like, this is fine. Why don't we go back focusing on your core product, please?
Yeah.
Please. Like this, I don't see how this helps Firefox become a better browser. Because there's already stuff in Firefox, like the sponsored tab things with recommendations.
Sandboxing.
Like, I don't know, man.
Yeah. Searching privately.
We've been around too long, Joe. We watched all the good stuff turn not so good. Oh, who knows? Who knows? I got, you know, I use Firefox on the desktop. This is not going to affect mobile for now, by the way. So you're still the guy. I just thought everybody needs to be aware of it. Something you need to be aware of as well as a very nice kernel release.
Yeah, so Linus Torvalds has released Linux kernel 6.9, and it's full of improvements, fixes, and more awesome hardware support. So one of the improvements is on Intel-based machines. They will now boot faster with Linux now that Intel Fastboot support is now included for older chipsets in the latest 6.9 kernel. This was previously enabled in the Linux kernel, but for Intel Skylake processors and newer. So now those of us who like to collect older computers will get this benefit of faster booting. And also, AMD gets lots of love with AMD pstate preferred core support in the AMD pstate driver for AMD Zen 2 and later chips. And there is better support for ARM processors, including ARM 64 Rust code support. And Linus Torvalds, the creator of Linux, had this to say: "And I now have a more powerful ARM 64 machine thanks to Ampere. So the last week, I've been doing almost as many ARM 64 builds as I have x86 64. And that should obviously continue during the upcoming merge window too." So that's pretty big news. We know that Linus has been working on ARM machines, and now we're getting more love in the kernel for ARM. And something Ven and I have talked about before, the EXT2 file system is now officially deprecated with this release. Wow. Yeah, that's an end of an era. And so the next Linux kernel released will be Linux kernel 6.10, which will be a long-term support release. So that will be coming soon. But yeah, Linus said, of course, as he usually does, this this kernel release is not that big a deal, when it actually really is.
So, probably the biggest takeaway I got from this is, like, yeah, if you're unfamiliar with, like, Ampere, is like Ampere, they make like the super chunky ARM boxes, like,
yeah.
So I'm sure they were like, hey, it'd be really neat, here's one, go,
yeah,
take it.
Here's and one, yeah,
whatever you do with it, we don't know, you know, you use it as a doorstop, it'd be really cool if you started playing around with it. And
yes,
Linus being Linus, like any of us, is like, yeah, I'm gonna start playing around with that, because it's an extraordinarily expensive desktop, and it's good to see ARM, hopefully, or something smelling like ARM is going to be in our future. And I was reading this over at It's Foss, all the links are going to be in our show notes. How do you install kernel 6.9? This makes me sad. How far we've fallen. Just like how far we've fallen with this is like, if you're supporting a rolling release, you wait for it to happen. Or if you don't, there's a guide to leave me a comment. When was the last time you compiled a kernel? I'm going to be compiling a kernel this afternoon and installed it. Yeah. Like this is a 15-minute operation at most. Is that knowledge like truly just gone for the average user on Linux these days? Like, has the knowledge base of like, ooh, I'm not doing that, why would I ever do that? I'm like, because I want to try out the new kernel. You know, I'm going to do that. I'm going to build some Debian packages, and I'm going to install them on Debian 12 this afternoon and try it out for a thing.
Yeah. Let Especially me know. Since it's actually easier now than it ever has been.
Not if you've never built anything before. I don't know. Like, that is the knowledge base I'm always curious about. And did we get further and further away from that? The more prevalent things like, things that make no sense to me, is like containerized desktop apps. And you're like, but I double click on the Flatpak. Can I install the Flatpak kernel? I'm like, oh God, no. Who knows? Yeah. But Snapdragon, let's talk about big, chunky ARMs.
Yeah, rawr, speaking of ARM.
Big flex.
Yeah.
This comes from Qualcomm. They're going to be upstreaming Linux kernel support for the Snapdragon X Elite. That one. Yeah, that 12-core chonker we've been hearing about. And I've been talking about it. I'm excited about it. Looks by the next LTS, we're looking at like kernel 6.10, 6.11, somewhere in there. We're going to have actual support for this, because they're sending this stuff upstream. Like, and like, how powerful are these chips? These chips are just like a little behind a current-day iPad with the new Apple SoC in them, the M series, not like your old dumpy iPads, like the iPad Pros. Video, they're working on video decoding, the camera, power, open firmware, boot firmware, like the entire stack. Like, they want to get all of this running just right out of the box. Like, these things aren't really available to get your hands on and play with just yet. So, yeah, I mean, we're talking like NVMe drives. They want to make sure the battery performance is good, suspend and resume, you know, sleep on the GPU parts, all that stuff. There's even an experimental disk image for, of course, Debian. If you want to play around, if you somehow have your hands on the hardware right now, and they're looking for contributors to come in and help on the kernel mailing list archive. If you want to do that, that makes me excited because this is coming directly from Qualcomm. This isn't typically we get something like this, you know, like people hacking on Broadcom type stuff for Raspberry Pi is still trying to get everything like a Raspberry Pi 5 booting with like a stock kernel. That's still not quite there yet. You know, you still need a custom kernel. Knowing that this is going to be out like this in the kernel, ready to go, is something to get excited about for our Army future, because this is not like a little, you know, this is not a Raspberry Pi 5. This is a desktop CPU or SoC that you can like legitimately get away with doing some stuff with.
Yeah.
It's not going to be cheap though. You're not going to get it for $75, but
yeah, we're going to be paying Apple prices, I think, for a bit.
Probably, you know, you're probably going to see this first in, you know, like $2,000 laptop somewhere. And it's almost guaranteed to be a better love story than Windows on ARM, because Windows is going to take another, you know, Windows 11 is going to take another swing at being on ARM again, you know, working with Qualcomm to try to make this happen. And like that did not take with Windows 10 when they tried that. And then we like what Joe was talking about, and like Linus has got an ARM machine these days, so
yeah, sky's the limit. Yeah, and that's that was the point I was gonna make, is you know as we talked about in the latest Linux kernel release 6.9, you know, Linus has an ARM machine now to build kernels on, and this I'm sure goes a long way to Qualcomm upping their support of the latest Snapdragon X Elite. It just happened to coincide that both these topics were on the same show. And that is going to be awesome. Right. And one thing I found interesting, Ven, is that they said in the next 6 months, one of the things they're working on is end-to-end hardware video decoding on Firefox and Chrome. And that's excellent.
Like, to put a finer point on that, Qualcomm's not just like, here at Boots-ish, go see if you get, like, they're working on system-level stuff all the way up to user-facing stuff, like Jill just said, Firefox.
Yeah.
Like, they want this thing to be a slick, smooth experience, and I'm here for it. Good times. Hey, Alexa. Okay, Google.
Did Ven trigger any of your devices out there?
Oh, people say they do, but they don't. Like, who's like really like in 2024 is like, yeah, I had you on the loudspeaker in the house. And that, I'm like, no, you did. You just want to type that in chat or you want to leave a comment. I feel you. Let's talk about just another AI powered voice assistant. And you're like, oh, okay. Well, that looks sketchy. And I'm like, yeah, it does. But I'm down with it because this is the little Pi segment that we like to do, because this is a Raspberry Pi powered one. Of course, make it so. There's it's not called Pi Card for no reason, because there's one Pi Card we all know. This runs entirely on your Raspberry Pi, AI-powered voice assistant, and it doing anything a standard LLM can do, like ChatGPT, conversations, and all the fun bits that you would expect. So what's different about it? Well, no internet connection is required. In addition, if there's a camera equipped, you can also ask Pi Card to take a photo, describe what it sees. Like, you can mess with it, basically, and even ask it questions about, hey, that thing I just showed you, what do you think that is? And it's like, it's a ham sandwich. Then you can put the cat down. So you can even plug a speaker into it, and it'll talk to you, and you can talk to it. It uses a distributed model, so latency is a little on the high side right now. It is, but it does run on a Raspberry Pi, or again, no internet connection needed, and it will probably occasionally bring up Earl Grey tea. I don't know that from experience. It's just a guess. I think that's pretty neat.
So cool. All we need is Majel Barrett's Roddenberry's voice on it. to Lwaxana Troy to do all the speaking, like in Next Gen. And I was thinking they have, what's really fun is they have a wake up word you can use to activate it, and I would use engage or make it so as good as well. And I was just thinking how funny this would be, and to an exit word could be arch, you know, as a double meaning for Star Trek TNG to exit the holodeck, and also for Linux. I use arch, by the way. I know that's silly.
You could probably build something kind of interesting with this. Like, if you look at the homebrew version, let me open image in new tab. Geez, 360 by. Yeah, that's definitely homebrew right there. You know, yeah, you got the Pi Cam like standing on like, man, now we got a little speaker plugged into it, but it does work. You could probably build a nicer enclosure for it. And yeah, being able to do your own trigger word is great, because this is one of the things I've never liked about like Google Assistant or Alexa. Is like, I want to be able to say operator. Why? Because that got my little brain thinking back in 1999 when I watched The Matrix. There was this one scene where Neo and Trinity are like running on the top of a skyscraper, and he's like, "Do you know how to fly that thing?" And she's like, "Not yet." And she's like, "Operator." And I'm like, "That's the future. There we go." And we kind of have now, but we have the delay. Our bandwidth is really slow with operator, because we still have to do the like brain to, you know, like mobile phone or search it. And then we have to read the information. More and more and more, where I can just be like, "Hey, tell me how to do the thing."
Yeah.
I'm down for it. Ladies and gentlemen, that's going to wrap us up for today. Thanks for hanging out. We do this live every Wednesday on Twitch, twitch.tv/LinuxGameCast. It'll be linked down in the video description. If you want to come say hi, hop into the chat. All of our chats are linked together, our Discord, our IRC, and of course, Twitch chat is all live. And this conversation continues on over on General Disarrayson, our super secret private channel for our Twitch subs and Patreon subscribers. But you guys already know that because you're there doing the thing. Mm-hmm. Speaking of that, you want to help us out, we'd appreciate it. Support the show, linuxgamecast.com/support. We got Patreon, LibrePay, all the regular stuff, a bunch of rewards for Patreon stuff, like access to our Discord. But same way, if you can kick some cheddar on Twitch, use that Bezo box. Give it a try before you buy it. We got wish lists and a bunch of fun things. Just keep show free. And there we go. Ladies and gentlemen, that's going to do it for episode 423. And speaking of them patrons, let's go ahead and show them off in the credits.
Let's thank our patrons, our advisors, Omegas and Artheron. Our executive producers, Barbara Ant, Scott M, Atomic, Mike G. Our Chicago Kicks people, Super Dust Down, Empty Blasphemia. Our Sea Monsters, some of them, Dirty Dean, DeCraze, Frostclaw, our Death Notes, Benjamin, Doom 2, Wad, Stephen B, our Chairlings, Coma, Nick, Jason, Jolly Man, Danielle. I was trying to name people I hadn't read in a while.
That's right, Stephen. The last thing we need to close out on, donkeys. See you next week, everybody.
Bye, everyone.